Hi, Anna.
Hi, Sam.
Nice to see you. Please have a seat. Have a seat. Make yourself comfortable. All right, well, we have to call Timothy Simons in a second because, well, you know what happened.
I know, and I feel like I really want to blame you, but I can't.
Oh, thank you for not blaming me. Dear listeners, what happened was we recorded an amazing episode with Timothy Simons, and the SD card in our recorder got corrupted. It was
corrupted.
A corrupted card.
We suspect it was the Russians.
Yes, the Russians were behind our corrupted card. So we lost.
They're good, though, man. They're good. And they clearly have good taste.
So we lost the first half of our episode with one of the stars of Veep, Timothy Simons, who is just
who is amazing,
just,
it's sad, but I am grateful that this has only happened to us once.
But the good news is we only lost the first half. For some reason it saved all the calls afterwards.
My head itches a little bit.
Did you hear what I just said?
Yes, I just got my hair done.
Your hair looks great.
As you witnessed, and sometimes it makes my head itch for a while.
Aw.
That's the price of the peroxide. The peroxide price.
Does it hurt?
No, it doesn't hurt. It just itches. So if you see me scratching my head, hopefully I don't have lice. Have you ever had lice?
I think when I was a kid, yeah.
You did?
Uh-huh. I think everyone in my school had lice.
Really?
Yeah. It was an epidemic.
Oh, it was an epidemic.
It was terrible. I hated that.
The Long Island lice.
Anyways,
epidemic.
We do have to call Timothy.
Yes.
But before we call him...
Yeah.
I do want to say, well, we have a message for our listeners, something that we needed to share with them for a while, which is exciting, which is really very exciting.
Thanks to you guys and your loyal listenership, and we've been able to build our audience through you guys. We are at a point now where we are able to take on some sponsors, and we're going to be able to pay our hardworking staff.
They've been working tirelessly to bring you guys content.
My secret hope too is if we make some revenue off of this podcast that I love so much, that Sim will be able to afford a wedding.
and everyone's invited.
Everyone's invited.
All the listeners are invited. But here's the thing. The truth is, It's not going to change the show at all. We're not going to take on that many ads, and we're only going to work with people that we really believe in. Yeah.
So be patient with us as we're continuing to grow, and we love you guys, and we're just looking forward to an awesome year of podcasting.
You know what we can do right now? This could be like a. It's not really an ad. We do have to promote a couple of things that are happening right now for us, which is exciting.
Right.
The first thing is our next live show, which is a big one.
Do you know I worked at an ad agency?
I know. That was your first job, wasn't it?
No, it was not my first job. But yeah, anyway, I'm going to put my ad hat on when I was a receptionist.
Well, that's great. Then this way, when we do our host read reads, they'll be exciting and funny.
It was kind of one of my most favorite job.
You're going to be really good at this. Dear listeners, you're going to be in for a treat. You know what? Don't fast forward through the ads. Don't push that 15-second fast forward button.
I guarantee I'll piss off some sponsors along the way.
Hey, they'll last maybe an episode or two, and they'll hopefully find somebody else. But we have a couple of things coming up. June 4th is our next live show. It is at Colossal Clusterfest, which is brought to you by Comedy Central and Superfly Events.
San Francisco.
This is going to be like, I guess they're kind of billing this as the Coachella of comedy. I don't know.
Sweet.
It's going to be crazy. But there's some great lineup.
Bring your
feathers.
Those Coachella girls are always fucking hot. Coachella style is hot.
The feathers and...
Yeah, just the whole, like, yeah.
The cowboy little, hat.
Yeah, don't you think? Anyway.
We should do a live show from Coachella.
That would be amazing.
Would you want to do that?
Sure. Huh? Yeah.
We can get some music acts on the show, finally.
You and I will be sweating. Okay, but wait, we are June 4th.
Yeah, it's June 4th, Sunday, June 4th. But the whole festival is going to be amazing. I think Jerry Seinfeld is performing, Sarah Silverman, Bill Burr... Kevin Hart, Ice Cube. It's going to be an insane lineup. And we're going to be doing a live version of our podcast. And we also have a very special guest.
Do you want to announce our special guest? Yes. Hannibal Buress has... is going to be our guest for the live show. I'm so fucking excited.
One of our dream guests for a long time.
I'm intimidated.
It's going to be amazing. Thrilled. Everything that comes out of his mouth is absolutely
sick. I know. So that should be a lot of fun.
Individual tickets are on sale right now at clusterfest.com. Please buy one. One other announcement.
I have a book. And the book is thanks to you guys, truly. It's coming out October 24th. You can pre-order it now on Amazon. It's called Anna Faris is Unqualified, or just Unqualified. I should probably know that part before I really start talking about it. But it's Unqualified. And really, it's this project is a culmination of kind of what I've learned by working on this podcast, my life. It's a memoir and it's an advice book. And we also have some amazing submissions by by you guys included in the book. So I have you guys to thank forever and ever for helping me kind of find my voice with this.
The book is awesome.
Thanks.
It's great.
I had been wanting to write a book for a long time, but I had no idea what to write about. My life seemed abnormal but kind of boring, and I'm 40, and it's like, well, who's gonna want to read a book about, I don't know, Scary Movie 3? Doing the podcast though really helped me sort of frame the idea that we all have these very similar relationship problems. They're universally relatable, and in the book I hope, you know, I really address a lot of my experiences and how they've formed my ridiculous opinions on everything.
And it's really, really funny.
Thanks, Sim.
And your husband wrote the foreword, which is also hysterical.
Yeah.
So that book comes out October 24th. You can pre-order on iBooks, Amazon, and anywhere else, I guess, books are sold.
Yes. And I'm signing a bunch of copies of it. Did I tell you that?
Yeah, you did. A lot. You told me you're going to be signing a lot.
I know. And I have the worst signature. I have a really childish signature.
Can you sign your paper right there? I want to see what it is. I don't think I remember.
It's really childish. My mom's always complaining about it.
That's not bad.
It's bad.
I modeled my signature after Jose Canseco because I was obsessed with him as a kid.
Yeah, all right. Let's take a look. See, I think mine indicates a total lack of caring.
This is completely slanted. The way Jose Canseco wrote his name was completely
That's
slanted.
That's good, and you did it really fast. You look like a man of importance, Sim Sarna. We're gonna call
Timothy right now.
Okay.
All right. Timothy's waiting for us. And Veep is in its fifth season, I think, right?
We'll ask him. So good.
Hello.
Timothy, it's Anna.
Hey guys.
Hey.
Hi, Timothy.
I am so sorry that and thank you so much for taking time out to do this, to say hi to us. I'm so sorry about our technical problem. And it's only happened.
No problem.
I just had the best time with you. You're so fucking wonderful, and thank you for coming back to say hi to us. Where are you now? Are you at home?
No, I'm in New York.
What are you doing there?
I'm doing the Colbert Show tomorrow.
Nice.
Wow.
I don't know why.
Yeah.
I envision you in a large bathtub in a hotel. Are you in a large bathtub in a hotel?
You know, there is not a large bathtub here, but that general sense is what I've been doing. There is no large bathtub, but the attitude and the feelings that you would associate with that are exactly what I've been doing.
Do you like turndown service, or do you prefer to not have that when you're staying in a hotel?
I like turndown service, but most everything that I enjoy, I feel like there has to be a specific purpose behind it. So it's not the reason that I like turndown service, I think, is because I like the fact that that thing gets put on your bed to not get the dirt from your shoes on the bedspread.
Yes, yes.
But I like that they take that away in the evenings because you don't need it during the evenings. So I feel like with everything, like that's the reason that I enjoy the service, is because something of use is being used in the manner in which it was designed. Does that like nothing gives me more joy than that, to see something being used for its expressed purpose and just being done correctly. I love that.
So do you like being in London? Because I was just in London and, you know, I drink a lot of tea and they always put a little spoon, a tiny little spoon. It's so civilized. And they always give me sugar, even though I don't use sugar. But anyway, mm-hmm. I like those little things. I like those little touches.
Is the spoon there for you to, like, do the thing where you press the water out of the bag and then put the tea bag onto the spoon?
No, the spoon is a tiny spoon, I think, used just for sugar or for stirring milk, potentially. It's not large enough to, like, press to use. And I don't know if they like to do a little loose leaf, at least, you know, at those fancy schmancy places I've been hanging out at, you know. Don't even get me started on a crustless sandwich. My God, gives me orgasm practically.
I would never cut the crusts off my sandwiches myself. But if somebody else is going to cut the crusts off, I will. I'm there for it.
It's like a White Castle burger, those little sandwiches, because it's like everything melds into one, you know? It's like,
oh, that's amazing.
There's no distinction between like the bread and the cream cheese and the whatever.
And the cream cheese and the cucumber that's in there.
Oh, I love our Hollywood lives. I love it.
Here's what's going to happen. I want you to get on a plane and fly to New York. I'm going to get on that same plane. You and I are going to fly to London, and we're going to go have some of those sandwiches.
Oh, my God.
Can I come, please?
Fuck no. No, this is just Timothy and myself. This is our fantasy, Sim.
All right.
Come on.
You can't just jump into this.
No, just kidding. It wouldn't be the same without you.
Oh, thank you.
When I was a kid, my mom, we didn't go to restaurants very often at all, but on the rare occasion, my mom I would just eat the bread. I'm just like the bread, the garlic bread girl. That's a really boring story. And then, you know, you move to LA and people are like, no bread.
Right.
Like, no bread.
I know. You still eat garlic bread. Isn't that your favorite?
Garlic bread.
You love garlic bread.
I'm a garlic bread. Like,
if any of our listeners have any great garlic bread recipes, you know, go ahead and email me them.
Okay.
Oh my God, I'm gonna get 300 garlic bread. I should never have said that.
It's gonna be garlic and butter and bread and an oven. I'm gonna go ahead and get this combination of those four.
Hey, so Timothy, so you're going on Stephen tomorrow. Will it be your first time doing that show?
It's my first time doing Colbert. The second time that I've done a late night show. The first time was a few years ago. I went on Letterman before he retired, and oddly, which was an incredibly intimidating and nerve-wracking experience, but also an amazing one. He was the late night person that I watched growing up, and I think a lot of my humor and a lot of my sort of comedy sensibilities were kind of defined by him. And so that was a really amazing experience, but it was odd thinking, because it's the same stage, it's going to be the same a dressing room, which I thought was weird that I'm about to go in and have this brand new experience, but it's going to be in the exact same place. So I think that that'll help nerves. The fact that, like, at least the physical space will feel familiar. So I'm hoping that that helps with nerves.
Chris just did Stephen. Listen to my Hollywood speak.
You're holding a piece of garlic bread right now.
With a tiny little knife. No, he said that Stephen was just the nicest guy and was incredibly, like, welcoming. And he came back with some really nice shampoo and conditioner, which I immediately stole.
Wait, Chris came back with the shampoo and conditioner?
You know,
did that come from Stephen?
Sometimes
give him
He gave him he got a little gift bag. I hope now. What if you don't get shampoo and conditioner though? I'm sorry.
Oh yeah.
I mean,
set the bar right.
Oh no.
Sorry. Maybe it was.
Oh no.
Maybe I bet you know, I was not supposed to have that shampoo and conditioner. That was not in.
No matter what, I'm gonna just so like the next time I see you, even if I don't get the shampoo and conditioner, I just to save face, I'm just gonna be okay. Like, I definitely got that.
You and
like,
you love.
I definitely was important enough that I got the nice shampoo. And I'm just going to do the thing where I let you give, specifics about it, and then I'll agree. I'll do that.
So did you have like your pre-interview and all that jibbity jam?
I did.
Can you tell me what a pre-interview, what does a producer talk to you about usually? So they kind of formulate the entire bit or the whole conversation with you?
It's very different for each show, wouldn't you say, Timothy?
These are my only experiences with it. Are those two? And so, and Anna, you could probably fill in more. It seems like they just kind of ask you to tell some stories, and they get a bunch of different stories about different things: your family, work on the show, mm-hmm. work from yeah. like, and has anything funny happened to you recently? And then they like take that to the host, and they kind of work it down to the ones that they like and the ones that they think are funny.
Gotcha.
Yeah, yeah. So before you go on a talk show, a segment producer will call you a couple days before and go over like potential story ideas, ask you like about the current project you're working on. They'll sometimes look at your Twitter feed to see if you have any like relevant things there, whatever. And some shows are like, Leno used to be incredibly regimented, and then some shows sort of use it as like a jumping off point.
Right.
And so anyway, it's different for each one. I'm not great at talk shows at all. I think I turn into a very weird version of myself.
No, I agree, Annie.
I know. Really, I'm a freak.
You really do turn into a very weird version of yourself.
I do.
I like the free form elements of it. I like things that can kind of go a little bit tangentially whenever I'm, and I don't know necessarily that Colbert is like this, but in any experience that I've had where I kind of have to like really stick to like, here is the funny story that makes me seem like a charming and normal person,
I invariably
will fuck that up.
It's so hard, especially if the host doesn't lead you in very well or in a very awkward way. Like, so, we heard that, you shit your pants on set. What was that like? And you're like, oh, yeah. Well, one day I shit my pants. Exactly. Okay.
Wait, did that really happen?
No, okay. It didn't happen. Jeez. I don't normally shit my pants.
Have you ever?
I'm afraid to say that I may have, but I don't really want to get into it. I'm not there yet with you, Timothy, and I'm not sure I'm even there with my dear listeners, who I feel like I can confess everything to. I still need some semblance of femininity.
I had a friend who shit his pants in college, and it just turned out that he was sick. Like, nothing, like, you know, it wasn't. But the thing was, it was in public. It was at the the student union.
Oh, no.
And his cover for it, and this is the thing that I actually love about him, is that he's one of these people that will not feel, I mean, even this somewhat shameful, somewhat embarrassing moment, he's not going to let that define him. He shat his pants. And then immediately screamed, "Oh my God, I just shat my pants."
Oh, that's amazing. I love this dude.
Oh, you would absolutely love, like, they just, there is just nothing. He does not care. It was just, this is where I am.
That is so brilliant. Man, I wish I had that kind of confidence.
I just shit my pants.
I love that guy.
Oh, that's amazing.
That's great.
So when do you come back here? In a few days? And are you, are you doing more press for Veep? Which is so fucking great, by the way.
There, we have like put some press things sort of, it was all sort of last minute. And so we kind of filled in a bunch of, as many press things as we could. But like whenever I come out here, like with kids, it becomes all of a sudden much harder to travel. Like just for fun.
Right. I know.
So when I am able to come out to New York, like we did some exteriors for the show this year and I came out a couple days early, to see friends and to see shows and, you know, just to kind of like, I came up through seeing, like, it came up through like the indie theater. And so like, I really like coming back and seeing indie theater and like being a part of like a theater culture. Not that, not that LA doesn't have it. It's just different than it is in Chicago or New York. It's just, you know, it's a different animal in Los Angeles. And so, so I came out and have been filling in some press things, but have also been kind of leaving the nights open to catch up with friends that I'm not able to see as often as I would like. And that's been really nice.
That's awesome. Well, New York is so magical, especially this time of year.
Oh, yeah. And I don't know if you do this or if, like, you've noticed this. Like, I wake up early and stay up late and eat and drink like a 22-year-old. And then 3 days in, my body wholesale rejects that. It's like, you are unable to do that. And here you, and like, I will, when I leave New York, I find myself sprinting to the airport only because it means I'll be able to sleep on the plane.
Oh, yeah. It's, well, isn't it? Wait, is it the city that never sleeps?
Yes.
I was thinking, wait, is that Vegas? Is there a great song about Vegas? Oh, yeah. Viva Las Vegas. Nice.
And what about Sheryl Crow's Leaving Las Vegas?
Leaving Las Vegas might even be better.
Yeah.
Was that song written for the movie?
Good question. Good question. Nina,
I don't
know.
Want to
look that up?
Was it actually, was it even featured in the movie, or did we just put them together because of the titles?
Do you know that song, We Built This City on Rock and Roll?
Yes.
Timothy, you know that song?
Oh, I think it was voted the worst rock and roll song of all time.
Really?
However, it is one of my favorites.
I love it. I love that song.
It's a great song.
I love that song.
But apparently the city is San Francisco that they're talking about. Which is so...
Really?
That's the rumor that I heard, which is wild to me, because if any city is built on rock and roll, it doesn't seem like San Francisco, right?
It wouldn't be my first guess.
I know. It's an odd one. Like, We Built This City on Rock... No. Maybe some other ones.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I mean, like, if somebody was like, oh, that song's about Des Moines, Iowa, I'd be like, oh, that makes sense more so than if they were like, we built, like, San Francisco.
Totally.
This seems like,
I know,
because
San Francisco.
Eating.
Right. I know. But, when you were growing up, what did you have a favorite? Because I remember that the reason why I thought about that song, though, is because that song, when I was, it hit me at like, probably came out when I was around 9 years old. Mm-hmm. And it had that physical feeling that you only get when you're a kid, or at least up until a certain age, where a song kind of makes you high. Like, you sort of buzz off of it. Like, you know, ABBA songs used to do that to me when I was younger. I don't know. Timothy, can you think of a song that like would make you like,
Jesse's Girl.
Oh, all right. That's a good one.
I like that one a lot.
I think, like, in thinking back to that period of time, like, I think about the stuff that my sister is a few years older than me. And so she kind of got into music in that way that you like it when you're a teenager. She introduced me to a lot of stuff, and like that's some like music as rebellion, like that idea. Like, I watched my sister get that first. And of course, like, we were close enough in age that I didn't personally feel rebellious, but I liked seeing rebellion in her, so I kind of went along with it. And I remember that, like, those songs that, like, this was, like, back when you had to, like, call up the radio station to request a song, like, Highway to the Danger Zone was, like, a big one.
Yes, yeah.
Great. Kenny Loggins, Top Gun soundtrack.
Yeah, like, I don't necessarily remember how it made me feel. I just remember that it was important to hear it. And Fight for Your Right, like the BC Boys song, Fight for Your Right to Party, like that was a big one in that period of time. But like, as I've gotten like older and more cynical, like, it's harder to find those songs that do that. Mm-hmm. But
I know,
but, like,
it's an age thing. It's the same thing with love. Like, love doesn't necessarily give you that buzzed feeling that you experience in your adolescence. And, you know,
I just really thought of mine. Sorry. Here I Go Again by Whitesnake.
All right.
Continue.
Oh, because you were like, independence.
Yes.
Sim's like, I'm breaking out of Long Island. This shit's too small for me.
That's my story.
Here I go again on my own. I can totally see you with your Walkman on. walking down the sidewalk. Sam, dinner.
My old and cynical self thinks about, like, when I see movies that, like, at, like, the center thing is, like, people falling in love or whatever. Like, sometimes I'm watching that. And this is like the old cynical me being like, that's what this fucking movie's about.
Oh, completely.
Right. Like, that's
we're
it.
So forgive. Like, it's a beautiful place to be so forgiving when you're young of everything.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. Yeah. All movies felt pretty amazing until around the age, I don't know, maybe around 11. That was maybe when I started to get a little more cynical, you know.
Yeah.
That was when, like, all the adults in my life were starting to disappoint me, you know? There is a point in, like, in a woman, as a woman is, well, as a girl is becoming a woman, around between, like, 11 and 14, when you're walking down the road and you really start to notice people looking at you. Like, people looking at you, like, looking at your ass, like, or... and checking you out, and it really starts to fuck with your head, and it starts to permeate in how you look at all men, and it's a tough, you know, it's like really the wool is being pulled, wow, from your eyes, and that's a tough. I don't know. That's a tough transition. I can't imagine there's a guy's equivalent.
Not
you guys
me.
Are looking. You guys are doing the looking. Thanks,
yes.
Dicks.
No.
Timothy, Sim, you
no,
can
I really
suck
don't.
It.
I think it's important to remember those. Like, you know, I think we definitely get caught up in our own experiences. And I think that leads to, like, that certainly leads to, like, some, you know, like, I grew up in a really small town, and that leads to enough sort of, like, naivete in and of itself. But, like, then I think it's important to remind people of things like that, where because it's like, it was like, oh my God, like that, you just realize, like, holy shit, you've been living with that sort of thing since you were like 11 or 12 or 13. Like, that's a long time to have to deal with that, a very specific feeling that I've never felt and frankly have never even come close to. I'm sure that somebody along the line has checked me out. Like, I'm sure that that's happened. I can't recommend it, but I'm sure it's happened.
I checked you out. I took a long drink of you. but listen, so Timothy, we have to run here in a minute, but I do want to tell you, I'm just loving your storyline. I love Jonah Ryan so much.
Thanks.
It's exciting, you know, what we sort of talked about, you sort of, your character sort of exploring some love interests. I love that world with you, your character, and you're just so brilliant on the show, and the show is so fucking great, and...
Thank you. I really appreciate that. It's a fucking fantastic job, and I get to work with some really amazing people. And you kind of saw the beginnings of it. There's a woman, an actress named Mary Holland, who comes on next week. You kind of saw it a little bit in the preview. You get introduced in the preview for next week. When does this come out?
Next week.
But, well, I saw you go on the dates.
Yeah, it continues on from there. And so for the people, I'm going to give you, there'll be a slight spoiler for you guys, but it'll be old news for the people listening that, like, Shawnee Tans ends up being, there might be, the embers of a romance there.
Oh, awesome. I desperately want to see Jonah getting laid. Oh, I bet he's just, I can't even imagine him in bed. Well, I can. I am at my image is a little jackrabbity.
Is that true, Timothy?
Is that how you would imagine Jonah as a lover?
You know, I think ultimately, I think despite all of his flaws, which are
be very
plentiful, that I do think that he would be a somewhat thing if misguided lover.
Yes. Yeah, I could see that because, you know, he wants to be included. It's really endearing, you know, when you, you know, you want to be, you root for him. You want him, you know, the episode where you guys are in Georgia, when you want to hang out with everybody and you get just sort of ditched. And it's very sweet, you know, it's and that's a testament to your ability. And thank you. And please, please, if you're ever around and you would be so kind to come back, we would just love that.
I would absolutely love to. I had such a good time when I was sitting down with you guys in person, and I was happy to have to come to New York to do all this stuff, but I really like sitting across from you guys.
Oh, good.
Yeah, well, we love having you.
And I just apologize so much for this.
Well, the good news is we do have the second part intact, which we're going to play right now.
Awesome.
We have the advice portion that we have.
Is there some incredibly awkward segue? Do you know the first line that's been, like, the first line spoken in the remaining audio? Like, is there a thing... where we could like super awkwardly transition into it?
We could awkwardly get into it right now if you want. And I can just cut it in.
Yeah, what if I was just like, I'll just say something that sounds like it's going to lead into another thought. So I'll be like, you know, like this will be it. Like,
I love it.
Okay. Anna, that's a really good point. And the other day I was just thinking that, and we'll just start it there.
Okay, great.
Okay, wait,
I
so
love
let's
it.
Start
yeah,
again.
Do
one more time. And this
Thank
time
you.
We're going to go right,
will you
right
say,
to it.
Will you say though that was a brilliant point?
Yeah, oh, yes. No, of course.
Okay.
Of course. All right. Anna, that is a brilliant point. And because you bring that up, I was just thinking that.
This is cool.
Hello.
Hey, Megan.
Hi, Megan.
Hi.
Hi, Megan. It's Anna. I know. There's that boring old Sim. No, Sim is incredibly kind and sweet. I've been giving him a little shit today. But how are you? You're in Atlanta?
I am. I'm in Atlanta. Yeah.
What part of Atlanta
I'm
are
doing
you in?
Well.
Hi.
This is Timothy Simons from Veep, and he's amazing.
Hi, Mr. Simons.
Hi.
How are
I was
you?
Like, oh my God, Mr. Simons, I love you.
Sorry, I am a teacher. I'm used to calling people Mr. and Miss. You know.
This is great already. My wife. What grade levels do you teach?
I teach high school. I teach English.
My wife is a high school teacher out here in LAUSD. So. This is going great.
Really?
Already. Yeah.
Oh, cool. Yeah. No, high school is definitely, you know, it's fun. A lot of people wouldn't revisit it. But I go there every day. So.
Yeah. Yes.
That says something about me.
Was your high school experience damaging like mine was?
No, my high school experience, honestly, it wasn't too bad. I was just like a nobody, but in like a good way, you know, like I was just doing my thing, you know, I just kept my head down and had fun. And
I think that there's an idea that like actors were really loud class clowns, but I feel like for the most part, the actors that I meet were kind of introverts in high school.
I was the class clown, but I was also the one that got picked on. Like I was sort of a little bit of a punching bag. So I think that was the response to it. But yeah.
Did you use it as like a coping mechanism? Like you're like, oh, like if I make fun of stuff, they can't make fun of me.
Absolutely. Oh, do you have like a little,
like
a young Tim Simons in your school right now that you're picturing? Cause it's exactly that.
No, I think I'm just familiar with archetypes. So it's, you know, that seems to be the thing. No, but I mean, it's fun though. I do feel like when I look at my kids, I can just kind of like see their, I don't know, like who they're going to become. And sometimes it's scary, but most of the time it's really great.
Oh, that's cool.
So it's fun. I feel like I get them in a really tough time. I have juniors, you know, so it's kind of the beginning of the college craze and like all that insanity, but it's a lot of fun.
I wish you were my teacher.
Yeah.
She sounds like a really cool teacher.
I didn't have any like young inspirational teachers growing up.
Aww.
I had like
really old.
The grizzly old like union like, jacks that were like,
yeah, do whatever.
Yeah.
Do whatever.
The types that wear like the denim dresses that have like the like apple appliques on them. Like,
just do whatever, kids. Like, it's all gonna be failure.
So Megan, you saw something recently on Tinder. Tell us what's going on.
Okay, so I had a friend of mine and I, we actually had a falling out in January. And really haven't spoken since then. In previously in October, I helped coordinate her wedding. I, you know, did a lot of stuff with that. And so I got to know, her family, her husband's family, you know, the kind of the both sides and everything. But anyway, so yeah, in January we had, we just kind of got into an argument and I decided, you know what, I don't really need this. And so we're going to part ways. So then earlier this week, I was on Tinder and I was swiping and, one of the guys that came up, I just like stopped in my tracks. It was her husband's brother. So thank God it wasn't her husband, but it's somebody's husband. So her husband's brother, was on there and I was just really shocked because his whole side of the family, is very religious, very like, you know, I mean, he, doesn't even drink in front of his parents. Like, I guess his parents don't like alcohol. And so I just would not have thought that he would be on there. He is married. And he and his wife just had a baby in the end of October, beginning of November.
What Whoa. Is this dude thinking?
Do you know how long they've been married?
They've been married for about 4 or 5 years.
So like before, Wait, so dude, before this,
what
this
the fuck is wrong with this dude? Does he not know that people, like, I feel like Megan, where you're going is like, should I be the messenger? Right.
And, right. Exactly. Yeah.
And I don't know why he's not taking into consideration that you are probably like one of maybe seven. Right. But like at least there are people out there if you're on Tinder that are going to see. I don't know. Sorry, Megan. I
right.
cut you off.
I know. Well, no, no. And that's kind of what I mean. When I showed a couple friends of mine, they were like, is he stupid? Like, you know, like there are people like we're in this area, you know, like they only live. I mean, they live in Atlanta. You know, my friend and her husband live close to Atlanta, you know, like we're all in the same area. And so and it just and part of the reason it really irks me, honestly, is because they just had a baby. And to me, I'm like, oh, so she's good enough to bear your child, but she's not good enough to sit. Right. Like, it just really ticked me off. Like,
yeah, no, there's a lot of reasons really that bad. As a woman that this scenario is horrible.
So what you want to know what you should do, right? Is should you get involved? Is that where you're coming from here?
Yeah, I'm just like, I feel so, like, I feel so betrayed, even though, I'm not even, you know, part of it. But, I'm yeah, so, like, what do I do? Like, should I tell?
I feel like you've got to examine, because what I'm hearing in my unqualified Anna Faris way is that you're missing your friend. And I think that the entry back into this friendship won't be great with you, with this information, you know, if you're conveying.
Right.
So are you missing her? And like,
Anna, you're really good at finding the thing that's not the mm-hmm. thing. You're good at finding yeah. the thing that's not the thing. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. She's like, I'm picking up my snack.
but like most women, if, or men, like if you've had a relationship, like a friendship with somebody and there's been something dramatic that's happened, you miss them. They're on your mind. They're lingering. And this feels like the avenue that you would want, you know, that would be like kind of the most natural, right. neutral, but even though it's not, course of action to take to get back into this person's life. Was the falling out, like, I don't know if you want to go into too much detail about it, but was it mostly, was she mad at you about something that felt petty? And then, and you were like, fuck this, you're high maintenance. I don't want you a part of my life anymore.
she was definitely high maintenance. But no, I don't really feel like I miss her. Like I think about her a lot, but really, I really feel like our not being friends is for the best. She was, one of those people who like, when I was with, I was like, oh yeah, like she's fine. You know, like it's just her, like she's just, it's just her. It's just how she is. And then,
what a great thing to say about we were good friends. Yeah, she is fine.
But women, but this is like speaking.
Is this a thing?
Yeah. Okay. Like this is language for sure. Yes.
But like, I guess like when I wasn't with her, like I just realized how like she's very selfish.
Oh,
and
good. These are the things
like visibly uncomfortable when the conversation was not centered around her. And I was just like, I'm a good friend. I know my worth as a friend and I was worth more than, you know, how she was treating me. So,
okay. So yeah. Listen, I think that there's in general, big societal pressure that women, that we sort of do to ourselves, and there's an expectation to be really great friends to people that we might not have all that much in common with. And if you're feeling better not necessarily being friends with this person, even though I understand the guilt, like, lingering because your friend may need – she needed you. If you – especially if you're a part of her wedding planning, she needed you and may need you more than you need her in her life, you know. But so I think that if you want to – there are two separate issues. You know, if you want to be her friend again and have her back in your life, then that that's wonderful. But don't do it if you are getting feelings of like this person is a little bit of a burden, because life is only going to get more, way more complicated.
Yeah.
And you have to shed. It's natural to shed people. And as women, we don't always learn that. But it is like it's very natural to kind of leave people behind as we grow.
My wife had an experience sort of like she lost like sort of a really good friend in, I would say, somewhat similar circumstances. Like the person that she lost as a friend was somewhat self-destructive and very selfish and always kind of saw things through there. But it was still hard for her. I feel like I've also had to be, you know, I tend to be a little bit more black and white about things. My wife would say that I'm incredibly black and white about things.
That's so good, though, especially in this industry.
I've had to sort of like, and it's come up, and this probably happened at least 10 years ago that they've had a falling out. And I have had to, even since then, and even as recently as like the last year, be like, what was it that you were trying to get back? Because the friendship that you lost as it stood was not good. Even then, it was sort of a friendship of nostalgia.
Exactly. I think you're trying to get back peace of mind.
Yeah. I mean, the guy probably thinks he can get away with it because he's in a big city. I mean, if it was in a town of 1,000 people and he's on Tinder, then like that's really dumb.
This
is really playing with fire.
This is like an aggressive move to get out of the marriage.
Which like you don't want to be in.
You're gonna get
caught. It's shocking.
You're gonna get caught. And you don't want to be anywhere close.
Did the picture look like? Was it vague? Was it profile of him? Was it...
Was that baby in the picture?
Do you know what I'm saying? Or was it like full frontal? Like how...
Full dick? Was it full dick?
Okay. Oh, one of the pictures that he had on there was actually from the maternity shoot.
Oh my God.
Oh no.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm actually...
Isn't that the most... Yeah. Isn't that such bullshit? Like,
I mean, that's bullshit,
so
but you got
mad.
To admire the gusto.
Yes.
Like, I was like, you're baldy, sir.
You need to call this dude direct and just...
Do
and
you
just
have
be like,
any relationship with his... Sorry, Tim, I totally
forgot. No, it's okay.
No.
This is kind of a joke, but I almost think you need to call the guy directly and just be like, man, like, I make an anonymous phone call. Dude, I admire the fact that you were able to pull out one of your maternity. You did like the Facebook, you did the Instagram crop out of your wife and baby, your wife and pregnant belly. You can see like a quarter of her arm. That is the ballsiest shit.
Ridiculous.
Is it like the only picture of him in a suit? Like, I don't understand.
I looked through what his profile said because I was like, well, maybe he's like,
did he list himself,
you know,
as single?
Like bored in his marriage and they're looking for something to like spice it up. I don't know. You know how weird people get on Tinder.
No, absolutely.
It's
yeah.
Gross, you know, or I mean, whatever you live your life.
I mean, yeah,
you
don't
but,
know. You don't know what their circumstances are. Maybe that is something that they both have agreed upon to be cropped out. I'm not like, I know that this is about 1% chance, but like, yeah. I mean,
it would be interesting, like, oh, like drinking in front of mom and dad, definite no-no. But like threesome on Tinder, for sure. Like,
yeah.
Tim, will you ask me after having just given birth to your child if it's cool if you go on Tinder? just give it a whirl.
How old's the baby? What are we defining as just?
The baby is 2 months, 1 week.
If the baby is 2 months and 1 week... I feel like that's when you start planting seeds.
Yeah, babe.
You don't ask direct.
Yeah.
You're trying to get into a threesome at 9 months. So you start planting seeds at two months, 1 week. I do feel like I think Anna has the right thing in that it's more about the friend. Like you want to be a long way away from the blast radius of that marriage. And right. Yeah. And really just examine whether or not you want to be involved with that friend at all.
Are you at all? Do you have a relationship at all with this guy's wife? The mother?
Not a whole lot. So,
Have they ever propositioned you for a threesome?
Like, the Bachelorette weekend and stuff. So what I was thinking was, if I was going to say anything, the way that I was thinking I would go about it is to text like one of my friends who is in the same friend group that I was a part of with her, and be like, hey, like, this is a super random question, but like, do you know how are doing? Like, is there anything? Because like, it's possible that in the months that we haven't been talking, shit hit the fan, you know? I don't know.
Yeah.
But then of course that leads to the question, like, yeah, they're fine. Why would you even ask that?
Yeah, it's like, still, oh, it's still all gonna, like, there's no way to do it. It's still all gonna come back to you.
I think this is like really fun gossip that you can like talk with us about and your coworkers at school. Yeah. But I'm not quite sure, because it is really juicy. Yeah.
This is
really
great.
Funny.
Yeah,
this
right?
Guy, yes. But I'm not sure if you can do anything that will not ultimately reflect a little bit poorly on you.
Yeah.
Because and that sucks. Mm-hmm. I wish I had a different answer for you, but
it's going to come out.
No, you're not.
I'm guaranteeing.
Oh, yeah.
It's going to come out. So
yeah,
she doesn't have to do anything.
Exactly. So we want to protect.
Right.
So yeah. Like, Megan, in your best interest in protecting you, it'll totally come out. And you know, it would be different too if this was, you know, your best friend or, but I think.
Right.
I do think, like, even examine whether or not, like, it's worth getting back into this person's life. Like,
right.
what did that person really bring into your world, and whether
right.
or not that's being worth it.
Right.
You know?
You're just going to open up something that you may not want to open up.
Yeah.
Which is, you know, maybe a friendship that you don't really want. So it's...
Is there anything to, though, if she knows this, is there anything to anyone coming back into her circle of friends and saying, like, why didn't you say anything? You knew?
She'll never get asked that.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, yeah, especially, I mean, we don't really talk, so it's not like, I don't know.
I think this is one of those ones you watch
it, though.
You watch it like a,
yeah.
you watch
yeah.
it.
You
like
know
a,
something everyone else doesn't know and you watch it unravel.
Yeah. Yeah. You watch it like a, you watch
like
it like a
like
golden
a
age of television show.
Celebrity like breakup or something.
Right.
Like, you just,
I just grab the popcorn and like
yep.
let it go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't wait
yeah.
for the third episode of Dumb Dude on Tinder.
You are clinging on to some really, really juicy information, which is of value. I always joke with Sim that, like, we do this little bit where I get to tell him that Michael Jackson just died, and he has to pretend like he's never heard that
right.
I get to be the deliverer of that
yeah.
big news.
It's a big deal to some people.
Yeah.
It's a huge deal to everybody.
Yeah.
You
it's
admit
a,
it.
No, it's a big deal to me. It's a big deal to you. It is.
No, but what I'm – but you know the context of what I'm saying right. is, like, being able to deliver a juicy bit of gossip.
Yeah.
And it's even more
right.
delicious if it's negative.
Right.
Sadly, yeah. like Brad and Angie broke up or whatever. Like, you get to mm-hmm. have the crown of being the first
yeah.
person
yeah.
to convey information. And I think it's probably in your best interest to resist maybe that impulse or that line of thinking a little bit, because you are too close to the matter.
Mm-hmm,
and
yeah.
I don't want your friend to have any more reason to fault you or feel pissed at you or whatever is going on with her. It sounds like you're a really good friend.
Right.
And, I mean, you helped plan her wedding. Oh, my God. That's way more than I would ever do.
Yeah.
I would never fucking do that shit. Don't ask me to plan your fucking wedding, Sim.
I'm not going to. But, Megan, thank
no,
you so
okay,
much
you
for
–
oh,
yeah,
I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you
thank
yeah.
you.
No.
Oh, I was just going to say, like, so I planned her wedding. I did her makeup. I coordinated the catering, all this stuff, right? Her thank you gift to me was a mug with a bunch of mints in it.
What kind of mints?
And
like those little
it.
Chalky ones that you picked up with the spoon at the outside of a restaurant? Because,
like,
honestly,
mints,
I'm a big
mints
fan
that,
of those.
Like, they give out like the Chinese food, you know? Like,
honestly,
the,
that sounds like a fucking killer gift to me.
Hey, well, maybe, you know.
No, you're right.
She,
hashtag worth it.
It sounds like she might, I don't know, women have really complicated relationships with each other. That she may be a little jealous of you. Or, you know, for whatever reason, she may have a little if her actions indicate passive aggressiveness, it might be someone to avoid, especially when they're in a new time
yeah.
in their life.
Yeah.
Like, they're recently married, might not be that happiest, who knows, maybe they're on cloud nine, I have no idea, but you know what I'm saying, that it's a pretty like uneven ground for her right now, so I don't even know if that would be a great timing in general, but yeah, and you know, it sucks to have given more to a friendship than you get in return. It really does. And I've been both players on you know, I think probably as we all have. But I think it's a good time in your late 20s to start to examine what people are going to bring to the table in your life and what you can give to them and how you, you know, enrich yourself in enrich. See, listen to me. Absolutely. I could be a high school teacher. I use words like enrich. I couldn't.
Good vocab.
I could never do what you do, Megan. What's the hardest school curriculum book that you have to teach? Like, do your students like kick and scream through To Kill a Mockingbird? Or
no, we actually didn't do To Kill a Mockingbird this year, which made me sad. But I think it was for the best. But probably The Crucible. They really struggle with because of the it's a play, and so kind of reading the parts is. It's not their what they've typically read. And I also, my students have learning disabilities. So I teach students with special needs.
Oh, wow.
You are
God,
you are the best person that lives.
Megan, you deserve more than a mug of mints.
You deserve more than the chalky mints,
yes.
Even though those are delicious.
Megan, thank you so much.
Megan, thank you.
So
I guess we're in kind of a rush today, but thank you. And I could talk to you for hours. I so admire what you do. And keep us posted. Let us know when this dude gets found
out. I will.
Yeah, send me an email as soon as you find out.
Oh, my gosh, I will.
Yeah.
I will. Thank you so much. I hope you all have a wonderful day.
Thanks.
Thank you. You too.
I really want.
Bye.
When women are really pregnant, so much so that you can see the arm pass through the skin. I want that guy to have I want to be able to see an arm cropped out in that picture.
Yeah.
So pregnant.
Yes.
That the little arm even makes an appearance in that quarter cutoff picture.
I get her point. I mean, I know that she can't be, I know we have to call the next person, but I get her point that she can't be the messenger, but truly that person's behavior is confounding.
It's ridiculous.
So
it's ridiculous.
I understand her plight a lot because it's so baffling.
Yeah.
Because I don't know. Can you guys rationalize that? Or not?
Yeah, I can a little bit, maybe.
Okay.
This could be a scenario, and this is because this happened to my my brother-in-law and my sister Saiba. So we were all drinking, and they were talking about how they missed out on the whole Tinder thing, and I said, you know what, Keith, it'd be fun. Let's just see how you do. Why don't you, you know, go on Tinder right now? And my sister was sitting right there, and he put up a profile. It takes about 10 minutes, 5 minutes, whatever, and he started swiping. About 2 hours later, Saiba, my sister, gets a text from one of her friends saying, I saw Keith
Holy
on
shit.
Tinder.
Holy
shit.
Whoa.
Dude.
Yeah. And it was, I mean, obviously we're all laughing. It's hilarious, but like I said, but that's why I was telling her before. It's like, he's going to get caught.
I wouldn't.
He's going to get caught.
Yeah. Oh, he's going to get caught quick too. My God.
Damn. Yeah. Because that is. Yeah.
Right.
We all.
Right. Unless it's a joke. Unless it's a total joke.
Yeah.
Unless
but
it's
even
just for
then,
fun.
It turns out.
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
people are going to say, someone's going to say something. Yeah.
Boy.
Yeah.
Oh.
Oof.
Yeah. All right. Anyways, we have one more call.
While it's dialing, there was a story that I heard one time about revealing big information. I heard the story one time that Karl Lagerfeld has to create designs in Euphoria, and so
hello.
I'll tell you.
Hang
more
on a second,
later.
Jane. Hi, Jane.
Hi, Jane. It's Sim.
Hi.
Sim, Anna, and Tim Simons from Veep.
Hi.
How are you?
How's it going?
I'm great. It's good to talk to you guys.
Nice to talk to
Jane,
you.
Jane, thank you.
Thank you so much for hanging out with us tonight. We don't have that much time. I have to apologize for that, first of all, but we are going to help you.
Oh, that's okay.
So tell us about the situation with your ex-boyfriend.
Sure. So my ex and I, we broke up last fall. We'd been together for about 2.5 years. And for the 9 months at the end, it had been long distance. And he lives in DC. I live in Florida now. As soon as I broke up with him, I actually ended up meeting somebody else. Took me totally by surprise. And I've moved on in a big way. I'm very much into my new boyfriend.
That's awesome.
But I'm supposed to be going to DC this weekend, for an unrelated event.
And in the months past, my ex and I, we'd been friendly. We'd talked a little bit about getting together for coffee or for lunch. And we'd kind of said that if we were ever in the same area, especially if I was in DC, that, that it was kind of like the expectation that we would meet up. But that was before kind of anything had really gotten serious with my new boyfriend. And I'm wondering if it would be weird to reach out to him, if I should kind of let it go, or if I should follow through and kind of ask him to meet up after all.
Oh boy. Cause I think this is really, really dangerous. I think that he's clearly, your ex is still clearly very much in love with you. And
what makes you say that though?
Oh, cause anytime a guy wants to meet up, has any interest in his ex, they like, guys are simple, just like Sim has been trying to tell me for a long time. But,
how would, let me ask you this, who broke up with who? Or was it a mutual thing?
Actually, if you believe it or not, it was actually mutual. I know people don't really believe that, but this is about the most mutual breakup you could have, I think. Okay. It just kind of fizzled after a long time of being long distance.
What are
we were getting
things,
into a lot of fights and everything.
What are the things you miss about him, and what do you see out of a reunion in D.C.? Like, what would be the most ideal outcome of a reunion?
Just something kind of, I don't know, like just a casual kind of say hello, catch up kind of situation. Because we never actually.
But I mean, I think maybe even continuing on from that, like, do you feel like this is the kind of person that needs to be in your life moving forward? Or would it just be kind of closure for both of you?
I would like to remain friends with him because, I mean, we knew each other for a long time, and I mean, he's a good person, definitely. But
yeah, lots of good people
I don't know
out
if it's,
there.
If that's a good idea or not.
You guys,
this is
so cut and dry. Come on,
I mean, yeah. Sim,
come on.
I think
hammer.
Seriously,
Sim's coming
that,
in with a hammer.
I think that you have a really kind heart. I think that opening this door is dangerous. It threatens your current relationship. No matter which way you cut it, it does threaten it. Whether or not your current boyfriend is in on it, or not.
Like, you're going to have to explain to him why you're getting together, and he might think, well, why? Not that,
like,
you owe him explanations.
Whatever it is, you're going to be paying us a debt, either a small debt or a large debt to your current boyfriend by doing this. But so you just have to take that into consideration. I'm not saying don't meet up with him necessarily, but I'm just saying that who knows? Maybe your mindset is like, I want to break up with my current boyfriend and be back with my ex.
Then I think
keep that in mind and really preserve. And, you know, because here's the thing. There's satisfaction in meeting up with your ex because usually, you know, you're looking good or whatever, and it feels really good to get, you know, the idea of closure, which is something that I struggle with because I don't really believe in it. But I just think you have to kind of look at your own motivations really carefully and decide whether or not this is something that you want to even bruise the tiniest bit your current relationship with.
If this is, I will say also this, like, if this is the first time you're going to be in DC, like, there's just, it's fraught in that you're going to have to either prep him with the fact that you are seeing somebody else, and then that opens that. And like, if it was just this past fall, that's what, 6 months, maybe 9 months at most, like, it's still reasonably fresh. Like, maybe the best time to get together is the second time you go to DC or the third time. So that really, like, this is an old saying, that idea of like the time healing all wounds or whatever, like a year and a half from now, it's not going to be fraught in any way. Like, you guys will both have actually moved on.
Right.
So you won't need to do any of that. The expectation will be that there would be another guy or that you're single, but this isn't going to lead to anything. Does that make sense?
And I think the practical
that's a good point.
Advice, Jane, though, too, is to communicate to him, your ex, all of these things. Like, you know, I want to honor and respect our history in the past that we had. I am curious about you. I will always care about you to some degree. But I'd love to say hello to you, but I want to make sure that we're, clear on what? Is it so lame?
No, it's not lame at all.
Anybody really do that?
I love that you have like this sort of velvet touch and this sort of like, that's like, I come at the opposite way, almost to like just kind of ghost it.
Like, oh, me too. No, it's so easy for me to say that. And I never, yeah, like, I just, never fucking do that shit.
Yeah.
I'm like, I don't, I lost my phone.
From like, just like full heart, like full open heart. I think I would almost go the other way of like, eventually have that conversation.
Cause yeah, it, you know, yeah, like that's fair enough.
Maybe that's the conversation you have. Like, I know I'm sorry I didn't get in touch the last time I was here, but it was for these reasons when you'll be able to talk about them a little bit easier and he'll be able to listen to them a little bit easier.
And I, you know, this is sort of, I don't know. It's one of these things because we're all curious. We all want to know what our exes are up to. Yeah. We really do. It's, you're not like,
we all go to our exes' Instagrams and when we're like doing like, better, we're like, fuck
why
yeah.
we go to our fucking reunions in high school? It's like we all want to. We have a strong sense of curiosity that gets into a lot of trouble in general. So I
don't know if ex-boyfriends and ex-girlfriends, I don't know if they're worth it.
Yeah,
it's also just fine if you guys just never talk again.
It's fine. It's completely fine. Okay, it's completely, and that's what you should do.
Like, Anna has this velvet touch, and Sim just comes in with a hammer. I'm like, it's fine. You don't ever have to talk
no,
again.
No, that's what I need. I need, like, a clear, like, action plan.
Yeah, the action.
Or non-action plan.
Action plan is ghost him.
Yeah, I think action plan is ghost him.
Like a gentle ghost.
Mm-hmm. A gentle ghost. A ghost that haunts the house a year and a half from now.
Because you know what? If you guys are meant to be later on down the line, then that's the bridge you'll cross later on down. You know? Like, but you guys broke up mutually for a reason. And so remember that, you know? And he is probably missing his safety net in you a lot. So he's highly motivated to get back together with you. So don't, you know, just remember all that stuff. Guys will not request a meeting with their ex out of curiosity or like, right? Am I right? They want to get back together with.
I actually did once request a meeting with an ex like maybe 7 or 8 months after the fact because I was having trouble with the breakup. And I think there was a part of me that really just wanted to, I didn't want to have like that meeting happen in an uncontrolled circumstance. I wanted to know it was going to happen, understand that it might be tough. I had no interest in getting back together with her, but it was really just for like closure on my end. And it was fine, but honestly, I could have done without it. Like, it was fine, but I didn't need it. Eventually, I kind of learned in the moment, like, oh, I don't really need to be doing this. So,
right. And it comes at a high cost of potentially
it does.
Damaging.
If you bump into him, like, oh, sorry, I got busy. But it like, and also like get coffee, don't get together when with drinks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
And sounds like your ex too, if he didn't hang on to you, then, you know, he's like a little milk toasty. Yeah. Jane, I'm so sorry. We have to go, but I love you. Thank you. I hope that we sort of helped you. Did we help you at all?
I hope so. I mean, I think she knows
definitely.
What to do, right?
I think I maybe wanted to hear you guys tell me to ghost him because I think that makes it a lot easier.
Cool. Yeah,
nice. Good.
You have at least three voices saying
it's not
ghost
as,
is all right.
It's not as much fun in like the moment. It's always fun to have these dramatic elements in life that happen, but ultimately for the marathon, it doesn't always work out the best.
Thank you, Jane.
Thanks, Jane.
Have a great day.
Thank you guys so much. I love you all.
Love you too. Love you too, Jane. I love it that she said that she loves us. I'm a sucker for love. okay.
We wrap it up?
Yes. Thank you so much, Tim.
This has been really fun,
here.
Guys. Thanks.
So Veep Sunday nights.
Oh yeah, Veep Sunday nights. 10:30. But you know, you can probably also watch.
Do you want to hang out for a bit? Do you have anything to do?
I have kids.
Well, you know this guy said to your right, right? You guys are in a movie together called Draft Day. It's Terry Crews just joined us.
So I guess, is that a tease for the next week?
Exactly.
1 week from now, you will hear what happens moments after now.
Exactly.
With Terry Crews. Veep. Yeah, 10:30. It's sweary. Everybody's awful, and HBO Go. Email me. I'll give you my HBO Go password.
I want to be president for sure. I want Jonah. Like, right? No, it has to be because that's the commentary.
It's not out of the realm of possibility
sure,
with our current one.
Exactly. Yeah. Like let's elevate the. I don't want to judge. I don't want to judge your character.
You're the velvet touch.
Yeah, but all right.
Follow us on Unqualified, all social media. Thank you so much.
I have to go urinate.
Okay, go urinate. Good night.
Bye. She's